Let's open our Bibles here to John chapter number 11 this morning. John chapter number 11. And we're beginning a brand new series here. And we've entitled it Graves into Gardens. And many of you have heard the very popular worship song with that same title, which is kind of where I got the idea for this message series. And I think this is a great time of year to do it, because when we look back at 2020, there were a lot of just bad things that happened. And in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you a warning. A lot of times in my questions, I don't give you a warning. I'm going to give you a warning this morning. Just a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to share with us the worst thing that happened to you in 2020. But a lot of bad things happened. And sometimes we let those bad things define us, because a lot of times we're not looking at it with the right perspective. And that's why we did our series, Why, a couple of months ago, trying to see why God allows certain things to happen and whatever else. And so we want to try to take the next few weeks and just kind of look at things and see how God can take even the worst moments and the worst situations and those horrible relationships, and He can turn it around into something so wonderful. And I don't know all the bad things that happened to you in 2020, but that doesn't have to be the end of the story. That can be the groundwork for something so amazing that God wants to do in your life in 2021 and beyond. So here we're in John chapter number 11, and we're going to pick up in verse number 17. It says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. He's speaking of Lazarus, for those of you that aren't familiar with the story here. Earlier in John chapter number 11, Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. So they ask him to come, hey, can you come and help Lazarus? Well, by the time Jesus gets there, he has been in the grave 4 days already. Verse 18 says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, and Bethany is a city, not a person, in case you're wondering, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. And Lord, as always, our first heart and our first prayer is that those who don't know you will know you. That those who have not yet believed in Jesus as the way of salvation will believe today and enter into a wonderful relationship with their Heavenly Father. And God, I pray if there's somebody who's in our presence this morning and they've never trusted Jesus to be their Savior, that your Spirit would do the work that only He can do. And that is speak to the soul. And Lord, I pray that they would trust today. Maybe there's somebody watching online, they've not yet believed. Maybe they're just checking out church for the first time. They're just checking out Christianity and seeing what it's all about. And God, I pray they would know it's not about being a member of this church. It's not about attending a certain kind of service or being baptized, giving money, or doing good things. None of those things matter when it comes to saving us from our sins. Jesus is the only way, and I pray they would believe in Jesus today. And God, I pray for both Christians and those who are unsaved this morning, because we've all had some bad things happen to us this year. We've all had bad things happen to us in our lives. And Lord, sometimes we allow those bad circumstances, these bad relationships, a loss of a loved one, to define who we are and what the rest of our life will be like. But God, I pray that you would give us some clarity this morning, that we would know and understand that these horrible situations are not the end of everything, that Lord, they're just the beginning of something so powerful and so wonderful that you want to do in us and through us. Please work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2021 is finally here. And we're excited about that. Although there were times this week where it didn't feel like it, right? Like, I'm not going to lie, this week felt a lot like 2020. And but I'm kind of curious, as I mentioned, I want to know, what is the worst thing that happened to you in 2020? So if you've ever wanted an opportunity to complain in church, this is your chance. This is, let's see who can top what. I want to know what the worst thing is. Violet. Couldn't have microwave popcorn. During the derecho, there was no power. Could not microwave her popcorn. Her world about ended. Yes.
The quarantine that felt like it lasted a month and then some.
Yeah, quarantine, that isolation. Travis.
Car accident.
Got in a car accident. Praise God, you are okay. Yes, Wendy. Having some back trouble, so having to retire from your job. And, of course, that adds some financial pressures and stress like that. So, yes, Evie.
My stepdad's garage got broken, so I can't go sneaking in there.
You got broken, huh? Can't go sneaking in there now because the garage got broken, huh? Yeah, Mom.
So, can I have a
personal
touch and be
okay. Yeah, and there's a few others that kind of feel that way as well. Was there somebody else? Yeah, go ahead. All right, yeah, church closing down. And what a interesting thing. I never thought as a pastor, like, I would be like, we're not having services, stay home. Like, usually we do the opposite, right? Yes?
Yeah, I love
one. Lost a loved one, husband, right? And we're continuing to pray for you. I know it's a very difficult time. We love you. And we're praying God would provide the comfort that you need. And we're grateful that you would share with us today. Yes, sir? Got three teeth pulled out. Like, you had to go to the dentist and get them pulled? Okay, that's way worse. I pulled my own kids out. But, yeah, Ben.
Not being able to say goodbye to a friend because of the COVID restrictions.
Sure. Yeah, having people that you care about die and not being able to be there and say goodbye. Patty.
Having to know you have to have surgery in February and not getting it
until October. Yeah, especially when you're in pain and that pain just continues for months and months and months because you can't get in there. Sophia. Yep, visiting your cousins. A lot of isolation. Deb.
Being in the hospital.
Yeah, being in the hospital. Praise God that you are out now. We continue to pray for your health as well. Bailey.
No power.
Yep, not having power. Yeah. A lot of our worlds revolve around power. That was one of the worst things for me. Yes, sir. Grayson.
I got hurt on my knee.
Got hurt on your knee. Okay. Good. Yes, ma'am. Sure, being able to travel and go to concerts, and of course associated with that is time with friends and loved ones and all those sorts of things. And all these things just kind of touch the tip of the iceberg for the difficulties that we face in life, the difficulties that we faced in the last year. And, you know, I think about all these different things that have taken place, and a lot of times these horrible things can make us feel hopeless. And depending on how old we are and what we've already experienced and gone through, it'll be different things that will make us get to a point where we feel hopeless. But that doesn't lessen the despair for that person just because you look at that and think, no microwave popcorn, like that's not a big deal. But to someone, it is a big deal. And when we have those feelings of hopelessness that come around, most often we have those feelings because our hope has been placed in a person, or our hope has been placed in a relationship or in a thing versus who it ought to be placed in. Our hope ought to be in Jesus and Him alone. And I would like to stand up here and tell you that my hope is always in Jesus. That no matter what happens, that I never get a feeling of hopelessness. I never get discouraged. That would be a lie. So just because we understand and I have a head knowledge, I know I should hope in Jesus, doesn't make it any easier to kind of keep my focus there. But we want to spend some time here in John chapter number 11 and try to learn from what goes on here and see how Jesus can take what appears to be hopeless for us and turn it into something hopeful. So in John chapter number 11 here, verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. And as I mentioned, at the very beginning of this chapter, Jesus gets word. Like, his family sends word to Jesus because Jesus had a special relationship with them. And it talks about how he cared for these people. They weren't just a face in the crowd. This was something that somebody that he knew very personally. He knew him very well. So they send word to Jesus, hey, can you come and heal him? Lazarus is sick. And I love how it says Lazarus, the guy you love, is sick. Maybe just a little bit of manipulation trying to get Jesus to come and heal their brother. But Jesus does something, he does something what appears to be strange. It appears to be uncaring and unloving. And there are times in our lives where we will feel, because of what has happened, that maybe God does not care about us or God does not love us. And he does something, instead of just rushing right to Lazarus, it tells us that he waits 2 days to even start the trip to go see him. He waits. I don't know about you, but waiting is a pet peeve of mine. Like, I hate to wait for people. I hate to wait for things. Does anybody want to share with me what's your biggest pet peeve? Man, I just, see, this is all negative for you today. Get the negative out. We want to start 2020 by just letting it all out. Yes, ma'am?
Slamming doors.
All right, slamming doors. You would hate it at my house. We have an old house, so in order to shut a door, you got to slam it. But slamming doors. Okay, anybody else have a pet peeve? Like, this just really irritates me. Yeah?
Don't use punctuation while texting.
And this is a young person who doesn't understand the culture that, electronically of young people. Like, texting's not meant for punctuation. I'm sorry that it bothers you, but it's not. So that's your pet peeve. You will not like messages from me because they are a wreck. Yes?
People wasting everything.
So waste. And cleaning up for a lot of people, you probably see you waste a lot of times. Yes, pet peeve. Oh, yeah, get your foot and stepping on crumbs and whatever else. We could add, like, crumbs in the bed, maybe. From people snacking. That's high on my list, too. People snacking in the bed and, like, crumbs. Since this came up, I have to tell you this. Because the other night, we were kind of laying in bed just watching TV, and my wife gets hungry, so she goes to get a snack. And she's eating while we're watching whatever. And all of a sudden, like, I feel the crumbs falling on my head. And I literally was like, okay, this is where I draw the line. Like, I'll tolerate sweeping crumbs off of my side of the bed. But when you're literally putting them on top of me, that's where I draw the line. Got to draw it right there. Anybody else want to share your pet peeve with us? Yes, Sophia. Chew with their mouth open. Yeah, I'm learning I have a lot of pet peeves. Like, I think people just irritate me. But waiting for me is the big one. Like, I just can't stand to wait for people. And you think about the waiting period that these people had to go through. They're waiting for Jesus. They gave him word, hey, Lazarus, the guy you love, is sick. And they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we get to the point where Jesus comes and he heads that direction. Look at verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And I want you to pay attention to what Martha says here. It says, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. So it's not that Martha didn't have hope, because she had hope. She knew that if Jesus could just get there in time, that he could heal her brother Lazarus. I mean, he'd done all kinds of incredible things. Like he made the blind be able to see again. The lame made them walk. He healed lepers and people with all kinds of different diseases. So she knew that if you had just got here, and her hope was that Jesus would get there in time. But see, one of the things she failed to understand is that our timing is not always the best timing. Which is hard for me because I think that I know the best time for everything. It's my time, right? That's the best time for everything. So whenever I think it's the right time to be healed, that's when it should be happening. And so she had hope. But he just needs to get here. And Martha wasn't alone in this sentiment. Look at verse number 32. Okay, so here's her sister Mary. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And you notice she says the same exact thing that her sister said verbatim. Now, for those of you guys in here that you don't know this, like, women talk to each other, okay? And sisters talk to each other. So, I'm married and I have four daughters, for those of you that don't know. So, I have a lot of experience in this circumstance, and I can tell you that sisters do talk with one another. A lot, by the way. And they tell each other everything. How many of you have sisters in here? You have sisters in here. All right? So you know I'm telling you the truth. They talk. And I can picture this conversation that's been going on between Martha and Mary. And they're around Lazarus while he's sick. They're watching him. They're doing what they can do to take care of him. This is my opinion. This is kind of what I picture in my head. So you're not going to find this in this portion of Scripture. I'm just using my imagination, and I'm thinking of the conversation that they're having with one another while they're taking care of him. Man, I can't wait for Jesus to get here. When Jesus gets here, this is all going to be taken care of. Lazarus, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And they're just talking about how hopeful they are that, hey, if Jesus gets here, when he gets here, he's going to be healed. And this situation is going to be taken care of. It's not going to be something that we have to worry about. But then Jesus doesn't show up when they want him to, and Lazarus dies. And with him, their hope dies too. And it appears that they've been having the same discussion with their friends and family too. Look at verse number 37. And some of them said, talking about these Jews that had gathered together to comfort, could not this man Jesus, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man Lazarus should not have died? See, they all understood it. They're looking around and saying, let this guy open the eyes of the blind. So when you compare giving somebody sight to healing somebody, like this should be something that's easy for him to do. So they weren't alone in that feeling of, hey, if you can just get here. And I think this statement by the people is exactly why Jesus chose to do what he did here. Because they said, listen, this would be an easy thing for him to do. But God's not always in doing the easy thing. God's interested in doing what will bring him the most glory. And sometimes for me and you, that means walking through some graveyards. That means having our hopes in people, in churches, in relationships, in circumstances, dying. so that we can learn that Jesus is the only one who is worthy of our hope. God delights in doing the impossible in our lives. He wants us to trust and hope in Him no matter what takes place. So let's get back to this conversation that Jesus and Martha are having. So Jesus, she hears that Jesus is coming to town. She rushes to see Him and says, "Hey, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Look at verse 22. She says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And I find it interesting that she says that, because based upon her further conversation with Jesus, I don't know that she really believes it. She says, "I know that whatever you ask God, He will do it." But then look what the conversation that happens right after this. Jesus says to her in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Martha says unto Him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So she says, "Hey, Jesus, I know whatever you say, it's going to happen." Jesus says, "Your brother's rising again." And she says, "Well, yeah, I know he's going to rise at the resurrection." Like, it's not even in her thought process that he could physically rise again. She has no hope in that at all. Like, the hope with her brother living with her and being healthy again was dead. It was gone. She says she believes. She doesn't really believe. And a lot of times that's exactly where we are as believers. Because we say, like, "I say I believe that Jesus knows what's best, that he's going to work all things out for whatever's the best." But my actions, my communication, my conversation doesn't always back up what I say. But she has no hope now. That hope is gone. Her brother is dead. Maybe your hope has died too. Her hope died with her brother. Maybe your hope died with a relationship. Maybe it died with the parent, with the child. Maybe it died with a job or with a spouse. Hopelessness comes from hoping in the wrong thing. The only source of true hope is found in Jesus, and He proves that. Look as the story progresses in verse number 39. So Jesus says, "Hey, take me to where you've laid him. I want to see the grave. I want to stand there. I want to see it." We get to verse number 39. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." So one of the things they would do back then is they would put him like in a cave or whatever, and then they would roll this giant stone in front of it, kind of seal it off. He says, "Take the stone away." And once again, Martha shows in her conversation, she has no hope in this situation. Notice what she says. She says, "Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days." I mean, Jesus, you don't understand. Like, he's dead. Decomposition has already taken place. There is no hope for him now. You're too late. I'm so thankful for Jesus' heart of compassion. Because rather than strongly rebuking her, he has a conversation with her. And I'm thankful for that, because there's a lot of times, man, I lose hope and I shouldn't. There's a lot of times I let situations and relationships and whatever else, the circumstances of life, take away my hope. And I'm thankful in those moments that Jesus, he doesn't get angry with me. He doesn't reject me. He just tries to refocus me back to where I need to be. And so he says to her in verse number 40, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believed, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. See, Martha thought that Jesus was too late. She thought that Jesus, you don't have any idea the situation. You don't understand the seriousness of what's going on now. Like, he's been dead 4 days. It's way too late. The situation is hopeless. Lazarus died. And Martha and Mary and everybody else that was gathered around there could only see a grave full of death. But Jesus saw a garden that was full of life. In John chapter 11, verse number 45, says this, Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. See, and this is the bottom line of what Jesus is up to in your life and in mine. He wants to bring people to himself. That's what he's busy doing. He came to seek and to save the lost. He is the shepherd who left the 99 to go find the one. It's about bringing glory to himself and drawing people to himself. And he knows the best way to do that. Could Jesus have gone straight to Lazarus and healed him? Yes, he could have. But as we've seen, in the eyes of the people there, that would have been a very simple thing for him to do. Would there have been people that saw Jesus heal Lazarus and believed? I'm sure that there would have been. We see that in a number of instances where he healed other people. But because of the way that he chose to do this, a lot of people came to faith in Jesus. And I don't try to pretend I know why God does what he does all the time. I would never specifically tell you why God would allow certain things in your life. I'm not going to look somebody in the face and tell them, this is why God had you in isolation for so long this past year. I might look my daughter in the face and tell her why she couldn't have popcorn. It's a little easier conversation to have. I'm not going to look somebody and say, I know exactly why your husband died. Because I don't know. I don't know why he would have you in the hospital. Specifically. But I do know that God knows exactly what he's doing. Even when I don't. And I know that he has a plan and he has a purpose for all the things that we go through in life. All the hardships that we've faced. All the crap that we've gone through in 2020 and earlier. I know that he has a plan for all of it. And broadly, the plan is to bring people to himself. He wants to use the circumstances in your life and in my life so that others can see that and glorify him. So hopefully that will change maybe a little bit of perspective on how we've looked at the last year. And we looked at the things that are currently going on in our life and have in the past. It says here in John chapter number 11, verse 17, Then Jesus came. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And she's right. God wanted to take a hopeless situation and to turn it into something hopeful. And he wants to do the same thing in each and every single one of our lives. He wants to take those graves and turn them into gardens.